with you and to spend these next 4.5 hours looking into the Word of God. I lost a couple people over here. I think they passed out. I am very happy to be here tonight and to speak on the topic of commitment to the Lord's church. Before we begin, I do want to send out a happy birthday to my daughter. She turned 15 today, and she is spending her birthday here with us, and she is excited about that. And she couldn't think of anything else that she'd want to do on her birthday than be here. So I want to wish her a happy 15th birthday. The elders at Edgewood have asked of me, I believe rightly so, demanded of me that when I stand in the pulpit at Edgewood and preach, that I support what is preached with book, chapter, and verse. And I believe that I should take that same commitment to the Word of God into this pulpit. And tonight, as we talk about commitment to the Lord's church, I believe that the things that I share with you are those things that need to be supported from the Word of God. I need to preach to you those things that are rightly divided in the Word of God so that we can not only grow in our understanding of this topic. And if you have your outline, you can follow along and you can see that we're going to cover a great deal of material. But not only is it important for us as individuals to grow in our understanding of commitment to the Lord's church and the practice of it, we want to be able to teach others. We want to be able to share with our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. We want to be able to visit with those with a knowledge from the Word of God, to visit with others and to teach them how it is important to develop in their own life a commitment to the Lord's church. So it's a wonderful topic. It's one that I am certainly happy to speak on tonight, because I'll be honest with you, I absolutely love the Lord's church. I have since that day I became a member of the Lord's church, when I was brought out of denominationalism and taught the gospel plan of salvation, was added to the Lord's church, and I have loved it ever since with a passion. And so this is a topic that I am very excited to speak to you about. There was one individual who, in talking about commitment, defined it this way, and I put some of these thoughts down on your outline for you. He defined commitment as being the decision to do what needs to be done, whatever the cost. The decision, the commitment, the desire when it came to that individual to do whatever was necessary, whatever was needed, regardless of what it would cost them to achieve their goal, to fulfill their pledge to be committed. Now, I like that definition. I'll tell you that. I like it. And I think that type of commitment, that desire to do whatever it takes, that desire to go the extra mile, to commit ourselves wholeheartedly, I think we're going to see that type of commitment reinforced through the scriptures tonight. A.W. Tozer once said this about commitment. He said, "No one gives at all until he has given all." Well, that's a total commitment. It's the very thing that we're going to be talking about. Now, I don't think commitment is something that is hard for us to understand. Certainly, we've had several sound gospel preachers stand in this very pulpit over the past several days, and they have spoken to you from the Word of God regarding commitment. And so we have a good foundation going into our last night of this meeting. But we know what commitment is. We understand what it involves from us, and we practice commitment in a multitude of different areas in our life. We're committed to work. We become committed to our sports teams. We express commitment in the hobbies that we fill with our extra time. People become committed to politics. People become committed to entertainment. People become committed to areas. Well, it shouldn't be too difficult for us as a people seeking to please God to see commitment in spiritual areas. Tonight, that area that we're looking at is that commitment to the Lord's church. I thought this was interesting. A Barna research poll. Barna does all those polls that you hear about on the news and stuff when you're watching it. A Barna research poll found that only 4 out of 10 people who claimed to be Christians also claimed that they were absolutely committed to the Christian faith. 4 out of 10. Now, if you flip that statistic around, that means that 6 out of 10 people who said they were Christians, 6 out of 10, would not make a commitment to the Christian faith. They would not be individuals that would be willing to say, you know what, I'll do whatever it takes to be a faithful Christian. I'll go the extra mile. I'll dedicate myself. I'll give it my all. I mean, 6 out of 10 people who said they were a Christian would not step up and say, what do I need to do? To be faithful, to be steadfast in my desire to be a Christian, what do I need to do? And I'm going to do that. We can see that there's a shortcoming at times. There's a shortfall from those who profess to be a Christian and having the rubber meet the road and standing up and making that commitment. Well, let me begin with a question. Is that you? Is that you? Is there in you at times an unwillingness to say, I'm going to give it my all? Do you wrestle at times with that uncertainty that begins to creep up in your Christian faith, in which you feel yourself pulled in a multitude of different directions? And when it comes to commitment to the Lord's church, your commitment is spread in a whole lot of other areas and nothing is really left for the Lord's church. Is it you? There's nothing wrong in us looking inward and examining ourselves and considering that question. There should be no shame in us examining our faith and saying, you know, where do I stand, Brother Gillis? Where am I in my commitment to the Lord's church? Am I doing whatever it takes? Am I living a life that could be characterized by those who are seeing me as being, well, that brother or that sister, well, they're committed. Well, that brother, that sister, you know what? When I think about them, I think about somebody who, they give it their all. That's a brother or that's a sister who, you know, you talk about rubber meeting the road. They're going all the time, every day in service to the Lord's church. That's commitment. Is that you? Is that somebody you know? Do you know somebody who maybe is struggling with making that commitment, struggling with giving their all to the church? Are you working with them? Are you helping them? Are you strengthening them? Are you studying with them? It's a difficult thing at times to begin to work in the lives of individuals and to help them to turn their commitment from a multitude of things to one thing. It's hard because we desire a lot and we get comfortable in those areas that we've made those previous commitments. And to stop giving ourselves wholeheartedly to those other areas, it kind of feels like a death in some regards. It kind of feels like we're losing a part of ourselves. And it becomes difficult, either if we're working on it ourselves or if we're helping another person to work on it. We see how hard it is at times to break that commitment to certain areas. How I wish, and I imagine you do as well, because you're here on a Tuesday night, how I wish the desire to have a commitment to the Lord's church was first and foremost in everyone's mind. Well, let me begin tonight by turning our attention to noticing how we are to have commitment to one and only one church. Now, if you were to get the phone book for the Malden area, the greater Greenville area, or if you were to go on the internet and you were to enter in church, you would find hundreds of churches. You can drive about 30 more feet down this road and you will see a building that represents itself as the church. So we're surrounded by a multitude of entities claiming to be the church, but when we come back to the pages of Scripture and we're talking about commitment to the Lord's church, we come back and we see that our commitment should be to one and to only one church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said these words, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the confession that Peter had made, you're the Christ." That's who you are. And upon this rock I will build my church. That's singular in nature. That's one. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Our commitment when it comes to the Lord's church is to the singular nature of the church of Christ. We see in Scripture in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 22, that Christ is the head of the church, which is His body, which is singular in nature. It says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and all. We begin tonight in talking about commitment to the Lord's church with that important understanding of the singular nature. We're not committed to a multitude of denominations. We're not committed to a multitude of earthly institutions that have a man as its founder. We're committed to only one church because there's only one church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. I want you to also notice this evening what I call the Christian's call to commitment. I'll share with you real quick about three scriptures that speak to us as individuals. I'm going to talk about us collectively as the church in just a moment. But three quick scriptures that identify for us very clearly the understanding that we're to be a commitment people. That when we talk about doing whatever needs to be done, when we talk about doing whatever we need to do, whatever the cost is, that type of commitment, these verses kind of push us in that direction. They lead us to that type of understanding. In Luke chapter 9, beginning there in verse 23, it says, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, an honest reading of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 cannot lead one to the conclusion that we're not to be a committed people. Taking up a cross, following Him daily. I mean, to take commitment out of that verse, we have to work very hard. To take commitment out of what Jesus is saying there, we have to either step back and choose to ignore what He has just said, or we need to step back and make the decision that I'm not willing to do it. I understand what He's calling for. He's calling for that commitment, but I don't want to give that type of commitment daily. Taking up my cross, putting myself in a situation where I'm going to face difficulty, I'm going to face persecution, I'm going to have to deal with struggles, putting myself in a situation where I'm going to have to say the most important thing to me is my commitment to the Lord's church. Everything else is secondary. Well, we either just flat out deny what He's saying, or we just simply refuse to do it. You can't honestly read Luke 9 and 23 and say that there's no commitment. How about John chapter 14? And I give you just one little verse there. Verse 15, it's where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't we see commitment? Don't we see the understanding very simply from Jesus that, listen, I'm asking for your all. I'm not John 14:15. I'm not asking you to fit me in. I'm not asking you in 168 hours that you find in a week, I'm not asking you to try to squeeze me in here or there. Listen, I'm asking for all of it. Here, keep my commandments. Be obedient to me. Now, how can we look at John chapter 14 and verse 15 and not understand that as individuals, we are called to have a commitment? Surely it's there. I like what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, probably one of the most familiar passages out of 1 Corinthians. And Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be, now notice, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, brethren, do you see commitment? Well, it jumps off the page. Every adjective that Paul throws out at us speaks of a level of commitment that we have to either be willing to make or willing to deny. How can we be a people that say we are steadfast, yet we have no commitment? It's not possible. How can we be a people that can confess to the world that we are immovable in our stance, that we are immovable in our belief, that we are immovable in the understanding that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Savior? How can we be immovable if we don't have commitment? We see Paul saying, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How can we grow? How can we continue to do more and more good works if we're not willing to make a commitment? I like the way Paul ends verse 58 because it tells us that our commitment is valuable. And it tells us that the commitment that we give, that decision to do what needs to be done, whatever the cost, that as he ends verse 58 there, we see that, you know, it's not wasted. And he says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, our commitment has value and worth. It's what Paul's talking about. That the commitment that we make and the sacrifices that we make and the willingness to say, you tell me what I need to do and I'm going to do it. You tell me how I need to go about it and I'm going to give it my all. You tell me that I need to see it through and I'm going to see it through whatever it may cost me. We come to the conclusion from what Paul says here that none of that is a waste of our time. Look, I understand sometimes we feel like our labor is. I mean, I shared and shared the gospel for I don't know how many years with that family. They still haven't accepted commitment, brethren. Commitment. Well, I've been working with old so and so over here for a bunch of years, and he still ain't commitment. Commitment. You know, I seem to just keep being challenged time and time again by those who are questioning me on the singular nature of the New Testament church, or those who are challenging me on what the Bible teaches regarding the importance of immersion, the essential nature of baptism and the plan of salvation, and they just seem to keep coming out of the woodwork and challenging me. Commitment! That willingness, that desire to do whatever needs to be done, regardless of the cost. I'll take the ridicule. I'll endure the difficulty and the hardship. Because I understand that it's not in vain. That I'll suggest to you. And I know the other men before me that have preached on commitment. I'll suggest that kind of, it gets us going. It gives us that good foundation that we can look back and we can say, you know, as an individual, the scriptures, I gave you just three. That the scriptures clearly teach me that, you know, I need to be committed. I need to have a commitment. I need to be one who is willing to do whatever it takes, whatever the cost. But we don't stop there. Not only do we see in Scripture the individual and they're called a commitment, but we see examples of what I call a communal commitment to the church. A communal. It's shared among all of us, right? We experience it all together. Okay? Turn in your Bible. Go over to Acts chapter 2, and you'll remember that the church is in its infancy. And in Acts chapter 2, I'll draw your attention to verse 42, and it says these words. And they are those who gladly received the word and were baptized. And they are the 3,000 that are spoken of in verse 41. You see, there'd be no verse 42. You can do your numerics, but I'm looking at it a different way. There would be and they. There'd be no they in verse 42 if there hadn't been the reception of the gospel in verse 41 and souls being added to the church. It's in its infancy. I wonder if these people, these new converts, those who have been called out of pagan religions, those who have been called out of the Jewish religion, I wonder if they were willing to make a commitment to the New Testament church. Well, look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And they continued steadfastly. Surely we see a communal commitment, don't we? Surely we see the body of church coming together, new converts. We see the body of Christ coming together, and we see as a body, they're willing to make a commitment together. It's the church at work. And we see them making a commitment in a host of different ways. In preaching, in doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You see a communal commitment in verse 45, don't you? People don't sell all that they have if they're not committed. People aren't willing to do all that it takes, to, regardless of what the cost is, if they're not committed. These are new Christians. People who have heeded the preaching on the day of Pentecost, and they have said to themselves, you know what? I'm going to be committed. I'm not going to go in half-heartedly. I'm not going to hang around the fringe. I'm going to put myself fully in. I'm going to immerse myself completely in the work and the worship of the church. And they do it. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Isn't this beautiful? Daily, those who are being saved. Communal commitment. We're going to remain committed, whatever the cost. And what do? They even go out and get more people. And the Lord is adding the saved to the church. They're preaching. They're teaching. They're bringing souls in to the Lord's church. Commitment. I'll give you another one. Stay there in Acts chapter 2. Just go over, in the book of Acts, go over to chapter 4 and look at verse 19. Well, that's not the right one. That's a good verse, though, that I'm going to preach on one day. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Listen, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. You see commitment, right? Committed to have one heart and one soul. He goes on, he says, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. That's commitment, church. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. That's commitment. And it represents what I've told you is that, communal commitment. The body of Christ as a whole willing to say, you know what? We need to do what we can on our level to help the church, collectively. We need to give as we need to give. We need to support as we need to support. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to teach. We need to reach out to to those around us. We need to do whatever we need to do on an individual level because it helps the community of believers. So there's what? Say five scripture verses. Three of them talk about individual commitment. Two of them talking about that communal commitment. There's no way, brethren, there's no way that we can honestly leave here tonight without admitting wholeheartedly that we need to be committed. But we need to have that commitment. What I want to do in the rest of my time is I want to look at some specific, we can manifest our commitment to the Lord's church. I'm going to go through these real quick. If I go too fast, don't worry, you have an outline. You can go back and you can look at these things a little bit slower. Listen, you could maybe add a few suggestions to it. Okay, but let me share some of these specific ways that we can manifest our commitment to the Lord's church. First, we can manifest it by being those who pray for the work of the Lord's church. Manifest our commitment in being those who are willing to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 is one of those passages, one of those verses that is so simple yet so profound. Pray without ceasing. Well, certainly our prayers and praying without ceasing ought to include the Lord's church. It ought to include her ministries. It ought to include her servants. It should include those who are sick, those who are struggling. It ought to include those who are rejoicing and doing well. Certainly, if we're going to be a people that pray continually, we ought to manifest in our life a life of prayer that is thankful for the Lord's church. That's commitment. Another suggestion I'll give you is that we can show commitment to the Lord's church by giving to support the work of the Lord's church. Again, in Acts chapter 4, I gave you verse 32. Let me pick up again in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who had possessions of land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. That commitment to give to the Lord's church. That commitment to say, is there something that I have, that I possess, that can benefit the Lord's body in its desire, in its work, in its ministry to help those who are in need? How can I manifest my commitment in that area? What is it that I can give? How about being a people that are committed to a work willingly in the Lord's church? I didn't highlight it on your outline, but maybe you can circle it. Maybe you can put an asterisk by it. But I think the word willingly should stand out. I don't think you need another sermon on work, but I think sometimes we have to understand that we should willingly work. We shouldn't be dragged into it. We shouldn't have to be coerced into it. How many times, brother? We're talking about commitment to the Lord's church, right? How many times have we had to make the same announcement over and over and over again about a need or about a situation in the Lord's church? And the very reason that we keep making the announcement over and over again is because nobody stepped up to help with it. Nobody stepped up to fulfill the work. How many times do we have to go out with hat in hand and beg people to fill our classrooms as teachers? How many times? How many times have we had outreach programs or visitation programs, and we're essentially begging the brethren who ought to be committed to the Lord's church? They're part of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. But how many times have we had to stress the need that when it comes to the work that needs to be carried out, that it ought to be done willingly? When we're having to beg, that shows a lack of commitment to serve willingly. But we see this in Titus chapter 3, in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We show our commitment to the Lord's church by maintaining those good works. I'm not saying it always fits in our schedule. I'm not saying it's always the thing that we decided and chose to do. Oh, when I wake up today, that's what I want to do. Maybe we're asked to do it. Maybe we're called and the need is expressed. But we're talking about commitment. Are we committed to work willingly? Here's another suggestion. Ways that we can manifest a commitment to the Lord's church. We can be a people that are committed to attend the worship of the Lord's church. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, that desire that is finds its fulfillment in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that worship is a must. We must worship in spirit and truth. It not a maybe. It's a must. And being those individuals who don't forsake the assembly, it's I'm going to be committed to worship in the Lord's church. I'm going to be committed to putting everything else second. I'm going to be committed to saying that when it comes to my priorities, 168 hours in the week, that surely, in that with 3 hours being set aside for the Lord's church to assemble together, surely out of those 168 hours, I can show a commitment to assemble with the saints. Commitment to the Lord's church. How about manifesting our commitment to the Lord's church in having a desire to teach others about the body of Christ, to teach others about the church of Christ. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That desire that we want to take the gospel to all that we can and to teach them about the Lord's church. I'm so thankful that a brother in Christ, but I am so thankful that way back in 1986 that a man was willing to come to me and say, Don, let me tell you about the Church of the New Testament. Don, let me tell you about how you can become a member of the New Testament Church. I'm thankful that that brother was committed to do that. Why? Well, 20-some years later, here I am. I wonder a lot of times how different my life would be if he didn't manifest that commitment. How I might still be lost this very day, worshiping in denominations. I'm thankful for that commitment. Are we thankful enough to have that type of commitment today and to go into the world and to teach others about the Lord's Church? I know that there's a multitude of things that we teach. My task has been to focus on the church, so I'm highlighting that. But are we willing to be that type of committed people? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 12? The understanding that we can be manifest commitment to the Lord's Church and ministering to those who are in the body of Christ. Sometimes we overlook that. Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's been many years ago, in fact, probably when I first got married, and I used to just suffer terribly from on both feet, ingrown toenails. If you've ever experienced that, it is just, it's a terrible pain that aches all day long. And even though it was in my toe, listen, brethren, I'm telling you, it affected every part of my body. My toe hurt, my leg hurt, my elbow hurt, my earlobes were aching. It affected every part. Look, when we come back and we talk about ourselves being part of the body of Christ, we need to have the type of commitment to the Lord's church that when one part of that body, when one member is suffering, we ache. I just hurt. Why? Don't you know, Sister Gladys is suffering with cancer? I ache all over. Why? Well, because Brother so-and-so is turning his back on sound doctrine and he's being led away into error and I'm just suffering from it. Everything about me hurts. Why, don't you know that Brother so-and-so has forsaken the body of Christ and gone into the world of denominations? I hurt. The opposite is true as well. Well, I feel good. Why? Did you hear we got a new sister in Christ? Oh man, today's a good day. Why is it a good day? Because I heard that a brother who was wrestling with something that was very difficult has come to an understanding and has embraced the word and he's turned his life around and I feel great about it. It's that type of commitment that we're willing to minister to the body of Christ, whether it's through times of sorrow, or whether it's through times of joy. We feel it in every member, whatever's happening. That's commitment. Manifesting our commitment to the Lord's church. How about this? And promoting unity in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and not compromise. Not let's just agree to disagree. Not, well, you have your understanding, I'll have my own understanding. That just sets the understanding that there's going to be a fight somewhere else down the road. But manifesting our commitment to the Lord's church and the fact that we promote unity in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Don't you just see commitment? It just jumps off the page. That understanding that we can speak the same thing when we're coming from the same source, the Word of God. That when we're turning to the truth, John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. When we speak the same thing, it's because we have the same word. And we're properly and rightly dividing that word. But we ought to have a desire and a commitment to the Lord's church, that we are willing to promote unity. Am I doing something that's causing a difficulty in the body of Christ? Am I doing something that's harming unity in the body of Christ? Well, I want to be committed to the Lord's church, and I want to show my commitment. Is there something that I'm doing, some way that I'm acting, some doctrine that I'm misunderstanding and bringing into the body of Christ, that I'm not promoting unity? Instead, I'm promoting disharmony and division. Well, I want to be committed to the Lord's church. Let me examine my way. How about manifesting our commitment to the Lord's church by loving the church of Christ? 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 17. These are wells without water. Peter talking about the false teachers. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That there were actually those who had come into the Lord's church, and they didn't manifest the love. Instead, they were seeking to harm it and to destroy it. I can't think of anything that would show a lack of commitment more than that. We don't want to be that type of people, do we? We don't want to be described as being a 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 type of people, do we? We don't want to be individuals who are described by those descriptive words of being clouds without water and carried by the tempest and just having as our destiny that which is a blackness and darkness forever, being lost. That doesn't manifest a love for the church, does it? Yet when we love one another, isn't this what John says? When we love one another, are we not also loving the body of Christ? I think so. When the call goes out, love the brotherhood, isn't that showing a commitment to the Lord's church? I think so. Let me give you just a few more. We're done. How about manifesting a commitment to the Lord's church by being willing, if it is required of us, listen, to die in service to the church? We don't often have to talk about this in our society. I don't know of, I know that all congregations face difficulties. When I was preaching in Austin, we had our building vandalized because I preached a sermon against homosexuality. I know that there's persecution out there, but it's very rare in our society to gather to worship on a Sunday morning and fear that at any moment the doors are going to be kicked open and our life is going to be demanded from us. It's very rare. Now, that's in our society. That's not rare in the world. Faithful brothers and sisters worship all over the world out of fear. So we want to have that commitment in doing whatever it takes that says, you know what? If the time comes or the need arises, I'm willing to lay down my life for the body of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul's saying, I'm willing to lay down my life for the church. Now that's commitment. He doesn't say, I'm looking for opportunities and ways where I don't have to give my life. He says, listen, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. My time's coming. He's right. They're going to behead him in Rome. He's right. It's coming to an end. A highlight on your outline. When I put 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, I put in a parenthesis Acts chapter 7 and verse 59 because of the huge contrast that exists. You remember Acts 7 verse 59, Stephen. Now, Stephen is being stoned to death. There's a young man who's present when Stephen is stoned to death. In fact, the text tells us that those who were carrying out the stoning laid their cloaks at the feet of this young man so he could watch them. Do you remember his name? Saul. Saul. You see the change in Paul's life. A man who once participated in the murder of a saint is now himself a saint, right? And is now manifesting in his own life what? A commitment. A commitment. A man who was there when a saint paid the ultimate sacrifice and was faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Who was willing for the cause of Christ, and because he loved the church, Stephen, to lay down his life. And now, years later, here is Paul doing the same thing. I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is coming, Timothy. Get ready. Be prepared. I like the growth. It shows commitment. One more. And I chose this one to be last. Bear with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, we see that there is the call for us as individuals to manifest a commitment to the Lord's church in the area of discipline. I didn't say it was a popular topic. I didn't say it's a fun topic. But it is a Bible topic. And one of the things in talking about a commitment to the Lord's church is that we have to be willing at times to practice scriptural discipline. Paul says this, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." Now, listen, brethren, that's not an exhaustive list of all the sins that one can commit. He's getting us started. And he goes on and he says these words, "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." I can't remember the brother's name. He wrote a little, we would probably call it a tract now. It was written way back in the 50s. And as soon as I'm driving home and eating birthday cake with Bailey, I'll remember who the author was. We would call it a tract now, but it was a pamphlet back in the 50s. And he said, probably one of the hardest passages in Scripture for the brethren to be committed to is the understanding that there are times that we need to put away from ourselves an evil person. That takes commitment, brethren. You understand? Not hatred. That's got no place in the Lord's church. It takes commitment to sit knee to knee and eye to eye with a brother or sister in Christ and say, because I love you and I love the Lord's church, your actions have become so unacceptable that we have to part ways. Now, I've had conversations like that. I'm telling you, it takes commitment. Not bitterness, not anger. The end result is what? We want that brother or sister back. We want them restored. We want them strong. We want them to say, listen, whoa, time out. What do I need to do? Let's start it now. You tell me the changes I need to make. We want them to be strengthened and brought back. That's what we want. But there are times, and we want to manifest our commitment, where we have to say to those who are in the body of Christ, we have to put you out. Why? Because we love the body of Christ. We love it. I know that's, I didn't count them. I don't know the exact number, but I know that's a lot. That's a lot. And it just really gets us started. There might be some other ways that you can think about commitment to the Lord's church that I didn't even touch. Add them to that list. Scribble them down there. Put that in your Bible so you have it. But I think these give us a good understanding, and they laid out very simply that we are certainly a people that are called to have a commitment to the Lord's church, and these are some areas where we can manifest that commitment. What can I do to show my commitment? Well, Brother Don threw out some suggestions. Let me look at my life compared to some of these areas. It gets us started. I put this, it's in your conclusion. I wrote this. Let me read it out. The church is the bride of Christ. You're familiar with 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. And as such, since she is the bride of Christ, she deserves our love, she deserves our support, and listen, brethren, she deserves our commitment. Not half-heartedly. Not when I can squeeze it into 68 hours that are already jam-packed with other things. Listen, she deserves our complete and total commitment. Now, the responsibility is on us. Does she have it? No, you don't have to say anything to the person next to you in front. This is for us to talk about as in, does she have it? Are you one that can step back and say, well, you know what? When it comes to what Brother Gellis was talking about, I can look in my life and I can see right now, this day, this very moment, I can see where in my life I manifest a consistent commitment to the Lord's church. It is there and it is tangible. I can put my hands around it. It's real. Is that you? Or are there maybe some areas or maybe there's a need for us to take what's been shared tonight and say, you know, I need to do a better job. I think I need to make a stronger commitment. Who likes ice cream? Go ahead. I got special permission for you to raise your hand. Who likes ice cream? I do too. Do you ever take one bite of ice cream out of the... Well, don't tell my wife I eat it right out of the tub. She doesn't need to know that. But do you ever take one bite of ice cream and throw the rest of the gallon away? I imagine you don't. You know why? Get ready. Because you got commitment. I'm not gonna stop until I can see the bottom of that gallon of ice cream, right? Oh, it may take you a couple days or 37 minutes. But I'm not stopping until I eat all of it. That's commitment. Now, brethren, if we can commit ourselves to a gallon of chocolate chip Bluebell ice cream, surely, brethren, surely we can commit ourselves to the Lord's church. Are you committed? Will you be committed? And will you teach others to develop a commitment for the Lord's church? Now I pray you will. We're going to be led in a song of invitation. Can we encourage you? Is there a way that we can pray for you? Can we get with you? Can we encourage you? How can we do that? Do we have somebody here who's not a member of the Lord's church and is ready to make a commitment to the Lord's church, to be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, to hear, believe, repent, confess, and to be baptized, and to allow God to add you to the church? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Not a preacher, not an elder. God adds you. Are you ready to make that commitment tonight and have your sins washed away? Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Are you ready to have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Are you ready to be in Christ? Galatians 3 and verse 27. You're in the right place. Because we want to encourage you and help you. Is there something we can do? You come forward as we stand and sing.